Can you also turn with me to Lord's Day 24? The Heidelberg Catechism is a faithful summary of the teaching of God's Word, and it has gone through all the parts of the Apostles' Creed, but now it's concluding that section on where our good works, the place that our good works have in the Christian life. And how do we respond to the perfect righteousness of Christ? And so Lord's Day 24 speaks on that, and let's respond to the questions. But why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? Because the righteousness which can stand before the judgment seat of God must be perfect throughout the entire conformable to the divine law. But even our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. Do our good works merit nothing, even though it is God's will to reward them in this life and in that which is to come? The reward comes not by merit, but of grace. But does not this doctrine make men careless and profane? No, for it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. Congregation, imagine this scenario, and this scenario is based upon Revelation 15, at least a portion of Revelation 15. The wait is over. Christ has returned. He cracks open the sky. The trumpet has sounded. The myriad of angels have come to gather the elect over all parts of creation. God's final judgment is being poured out on all of His enemies, including the beast, or in other words, the devil himself. The angels in heaven are singing the song of the Lamb. And the host of saints gathering are looking up, and we're being mesmerized by what is taking place in glory with all these angels singing, "Great and marvelous are Your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Your ways, O King of saints, who shall not fear You. O Lord, and glorify Your name, for You are holy. You alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before You, for Your judgments have been manifested." You just hear that singing, and then the nations are beholding the glory of the Lamb, His righteous works. The bride of Christ is fully clothed, finally fully clothed in her spotless dress. And all that glory being focused upon Christ. And you hear someone in the background waving their hand. "Jesus! Jesus! I know Your works are great, but can we pay attention to some of the things that we've done? You know, I gave a cold bottle of water to a homeless person once. I read my Bible. I showed up to church. I've done lots of good things. Doesn't that require attention?" I mean, that would be absurd, right? It would be absolutely ridiculous. And in fact, flat out arrogant. Because it would be arrogant to think that our righteousness could somehow be added onto Christ's perfect righteousness. Yes, Scripture affirms that in response to this grace that we receive, to the perfect righteousness of Christ, that we do good works. 1 Peter says, in response to Christ's sacrifice, that we do offer up spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. But Peter goes on to say that even those spiritual sacrifices, those good works, are acceptable, made acceptable to God through Christ. And because our good works are made acceptable to God through Christ, our Father rewards His children. And in fact, He rewards His children generously. But the key thing to remember is that the reward of the Father isn't merited. The reward is solely based upon His grace. Our Father is pleased to favor His people. Our Father loves to reward His children. And so how can that make us so careless? How can that make us want to have some attention for God to draw attention to our works. Because what if Christ were to look at your works? All those times you did some act of mercy to your neighbor. All those times you did the things that God called you to do. Could He look even at your best works and say, yes, that deserves my grace. Yes, that deserves glory. No, not at all. None of our best works is made acceptable on their own merit, because all of our good works are imperfect. But that doesn't mean, again, that God, our Father, doesn't love to reward His children. And it doesn't make us careless. Now, I won't be here because of vacation for Father's Day. And so here's my Father's Day application in advance. So dads, how eager are you to reward your children when they complete their chores or their tasks, whatever it is? Your toddler comes in running to you and says, Dad, I cleaned my room. So you walk over there to see what they did. And you see progress. But you also see the puzzle pieces in the corner. You see all the toys that are just shoved right under the bed. But there's progress. He made an effort. And as a father, doesn't that delight you? Doesn't that give you joy to say, son, good job. I'm proud of you. And dads, your children can never hear that enough, by the way. But that gives us delight as dads, right? We want to tell our children, we say, good job. We're proud of you. Now, do you think you are more loving than your Heavenly Father? No, not at all. Brothers and sisters, everything you do in this life is never done in vain when it's done for the Lord. And believe me when I say that your Heavenly Father is eager to reward you for all of your imperfect good works. All the glory will go to Christ, and we will spend all of eternity marveling at His perfect righteousness. You know what? Nothing is going to make us more happy, more joyful, than to marvel and praise God, praise Christ for His righteousness. Amen. Amen.